Hi, this is Pastor Jerry from Cross Point Church. I just want you to know that I am so thrilled that you've tuned in to join us right here online. And I want you to know that we care about you, we care about your family. And if you need any information about Cross Point Church, just let us know. You can email us, you can get back to us in any way that's most convenient for you. But I just want to thank you so much for tuning in to this program. And by the way, let us know, would you, how the program is a blessing to you. Now let's go to the pulpit ministry of Cross Point Church. Hey, it's good to see you today. I mean, it's really good to see you. I know you don't have to come, and so I'm thankful when you come and you want to learn about God. Today, we're going to take a few minutes, and obviously, we took about 10 or 15 minutes to promote the ladies, but I think that's a worthy cause. They deserve a lot more than that. But with that being said, I want to talk today about another Old Testament Bible character that I believe will really help us to draw closer to God from some of the principles we can learn. And so I'm going to talk a little faster, and if you listen a little faster, we'll get done right on time, okay? I want to talk about Joshua today, but I don't necessarily want to talk about him directly. It's more indirectly this morning as we think about Joshua. We've been talking about life lessons, modern truths from ancient times. We've been learning from Old Testament heroes, Old Testament characters that we believe can be a blessing to us in our everyday lives. And so we need to understand, first of all, a little background before Joshua. Moses was called to lead the nation of Israel out of what country? Egypt, okay? Egypt. If you get it wrong, we relax. No one's going to punch you or beat you up. Just relax. Egypt. And of course, we know that through Moses, the nation of Israel came out of Egypt. We know there was a lot involved in that, and you can read all about that in the Old Testament. And when they got out of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea. God performed a miracle. He parted the Red Sea. You say, Jared, do you believe that actually happened? Yes, I do. God parted the Red Sea. And the nation of Israel went over on dry land, and they stopped at Mount Sinai. And there, Moses received the Ten Commandments. Moses received the law of God, where God began to take all of these people that were slaves for 400 years in Egypt, and now he formed them into a country, a people group that we know today as the Jewish people or the nation of Israel. It was time now to enter into the promised land. From Mount Sinai when they left Egypt to the promised land where Israel is today, it would have only taken Israel about 2 months to get there walking. It wasn't very long, maybe shorter, 4 to 8 weeks depending on weather and all those types of things. But my point is, they were about 2 months away from what God had promised Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before. They were right on the precipice of the promised land. They were almost there. So close, but yet what? So far away. Moses sent 12 spies into the land. Many of you know the story. The 12 spies were to check out the strength of the people there, check out the food, what was available there, check out how strong the armies were. And they came back. They actually reported that we can't take the land because, my goodness, there are giants there. There's no way we could do it. So first of all, we see demonstrated here a lack of faith. A lack of faith. And the lack of faith that they showed made a situation whereby, sadly, God had to discipline them. Joshua and Caleb were the only two out of the 12 spies who showed faith that God would have allowed them to go through, and God would have protected them, and God would have made them victorious. Numbers chapter 13, let's look at a verse on the screen here real quick. Notice here, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So God, because of their lack of faith, their lack of respect for God, now remember, these people had just crossed through the Red Sea. God had provided for them in a miraculous way, and all through the times that God shown himself, they showed a lack of faith, a lack of trust in God. Well, God disciplined them. Notice a couple of verses we want to show you here. according to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days. Those 12 spies went into the promised land for 40 days. For every day, notice that you bear guilt for showing your lack of faith, even 40 years. For every day, I'm going to allow you to wander in the wilderness for 1 year. 1 day, 1 year. 40 days, 40 years. Not only that, but something else. Notice the next verse. Say as to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as I have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses, your dead bodies, will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number, from 20 years old and over. Every single male and female over the age of 20 would have to die first before the nation of Israel would be able to possess the promised land. That was the discipline. That is how God dealt with his people. You know what's fascinating about this? When the 12 spies came back, they told Moses all of these negative things, and the people rebelled against Moses. They said, we need to go back to Egypt. Moses, why did you bring us here? And Moses is thinking, my goodness, guys, we just crossed the Red Sea. Didn't you see all of what happened in Egypt with the plagues? Didn't you see what God has just done for us? And in fact, they wanted to kill Moses. Read it for yourself. But God, through Moses, because God wanted to kill the people. So here it is. The people wanted to kill Moses, and God wanted to kill the people. And Moses stands up, even though the people wanted to take his life for bringing him out of Egypt, he stands up and goes before God, and the Bible says that he actually pleads their case. God, don't kill them. If I'd have been Moses, I said, God, wipe them all out right now. Kill them all. Probably you would have too. So the same man that the people wanted to kill stands up for them and literally saves all their lives. God was ready to clear the deck and start over. Well, the good thing about God is this. If we're offline, and the title of the lesson today is Back Online, when we are offline in our spiritual life, we can get back online. You know, one of the most frustrating things in our techie culture, and maybe it doesn't happen to you, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm kind of cursed this way, but it seems like every time that I need to do something important on my computer, it's offline. When I don't need it, it works all the time. But if I have to get an important email out or I need to get a letter written and sent, it's very important, I go to my computer and we're offline. And I call the tech guys, I go, what's the problem? Well, we're working on it, we'll get you back online as soon as possible. So I want to talk for the next few moments about getting back online. By the way, aren't you glad when we're offline, God allows us to get back online? Here's the charge to Joshua in chapter 1, and I'm going to read it kind of quick. Here's the charge to Joshua as he's getting ready to take the people back into the promised land. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give these people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong and courageous. We don't know this for sure, but I've got to believe that Joshua was a little scared. He could have been a little nervous. He'd heard about the giants in the land. He knew there were going to be battles up ahead to fight these people. And so God comes along and he says, look, be courageous. Don't fear. I'm with you. Folks, no matter what we go through in our lives, God is with us. And we can be courageous and we don't have to fear. We can fight head on. And God is coming to Joshua and says, look, I'm going to give you this land. You just go straight ahead. Don't give up. Be courageous. We all need that, don't we? Maybe I'm the only one. I know I need that. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to the law. You be courageous, you be strong, but you better do it my way. Do what I've commanded you. Let's go to the next verse. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Follow my word so that you may have success. Notice, wherever you go, folks, if you want success in your life, do it God's way. I didn't say you'd get rich. If you want less chaos in your life, do it God's way. It works. That's what God is telling Joshua. Do it my way, and you'll conquer the land. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And then the last part of the verse, when you do those things, then you will have and be what? Prosperous. He's not talking about finances. He's talking about life. He's talking about being successful in our everyday lives. And then you will have success. But you know, sadly, those people did not do that 40 years ago. They had to go through 40 years of a hard time, didn't they? That was their choice. You know what I find today? That most people, not all, because some things happen out of our control, but let's be honest, most of the things we find ourselves in is because we put ourselves there. Would you agree with that? I mean, it's a general rule. I know there's things that happen we have no control over, but by and large, we find ourselves in situations because of the choices that you and I have made. Well, praise God, there's a different report coming. There's new life coming. You see, the wilderness 40 years kind of symbolically represents bad, sin, sadness, death. And now God is taking his nation and he's saying, I want to give you something that is awesome. I want to give you a new beginning. I want to give you a brand new start. Aren't you glad this morning that God gives us a brand new beginning? Aren't you glad we don't have to stay in the wilderness, but with God we can go into the promised land? And as they get ready to go into the promised land, he sends two spies in. Interesting. He chose the number of spies that came back with a proper report from last time. Two spies go into the land. They come back and they say, we can do it. We can take the land this time. We have faith in God. Our faith has been restored in our God. We can do it. And Joshua, I imagine he's fired up. He was there 40 years ago when he and Caleb were the only two of the 12 that brought a good report. And for 40 years, his heart, I'm sure, ached because he himself believed 40 years ago they could take the land. And for 40 long years, he had to put up with the disbelief of God's people. And watch, according to theologians, over that 40 years, approximately 1.2 million people died. But now there was a new beginning. Faith had been restored. The spies came back. They were ready to go. They got the men together. They're ready to fight, to go in. The first battle would be Jericho. That's not necessarily our lesson today. It's a byproduct of what we're talking about. And he tells the priests, he said, guys, get the Ark of the Covenant. That was a small box, about 2x3. You can read about it in the Old Testament, covered with gold, had a couple of angels on it, had rings on each corner. They put poles through it. And he said, I want you guys to get the Ark. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? You know, sometimes people get confused of the Ark. They think of Noah's Ark. That would be big to carry on your shoulders, wouldn't it? Big boat. No, this was the Ark of the Covenant. And in this box was Aaron's rod that budded. The Ten Commandments were in there. Manna was in there, food that God had fed the Israelites for 40 years. And he says, I want you guys to carry that. Get all the preachers together. And I want you to carry that. I want you to stand right in front of the Jordan River. And when I say go, you go. And the Bible says that the Jordan River actually was at flood stage. Now imagine that water racing down that river at flood stage. And Joshua says, now I want you to step in that river by faith. That would have been tough for me because I can't swim. I mean, I really can't swim. I would have taken a lot of faith. I'd have been the priest at the back of the line. And those two priests, they stepped in that water, and that water parted just like the Red Sea. They went to the middle of the Jordan River, and all the people passed through. Who knows? Probably 1.5, 2 million people. We don't really know. And they passed through. And those priests were in the middle of that river. And Joshua chose one guy from each tribe, and he said, I want you to go to the middle of the river, and where the priests are, I want you to get a big boulder and put on your shoulder. And I want you to carry that across the river. And we're going to make a memorial. And so all the people passed through, and those 12 guys took their boulders, and they walked through as well. And then before the waters came back together, Joshua went to where the priests were going. He says, you guys go. And there Joshua, and I'm sure he probably had some help, he also put 12 large stones. So there was a memorial to God in the middle of the Jordan River. And when everybody was out of the Jordan River, the water came back together. And they that particular night, they stayed at a place called Gilgal. And there they built this monument, this altar, this memorial to God. When the people saw the stones, it reminded them of the greatness of Almighty God. It was a reminder how good God is, how powerful God is. I would say this, every single one of us need memorials in our lives where we look back and we see the greatness of Almighty God. Well, interesting enough, in the new beginning, three things happened. For the first time in over 40 years, all of the men were circumcised. You see, circumcision was part of the law, in the sense that Abraham was challenged by God to begin to circumcise the people, his offspring, that separated them from all the other peoples. And then, of course, that was incorporated into the teaching of the nation of Israel. And so we find it began in Genesis chapter 17, actually before the law, many hundreds of years before Mount Sinai, but became part of the law of God. His people were set apart. And so when people wanted to be a Jew, for example, if they were a Gentile, the first thing they had to do was be circumcised. Boy, I'm glad we don't require that today, right? They had to be circumcised. Gilgal, the word Gilgal, where they encamped that night, actually means to roll back or roll away, referencing to, obviously, circumcision. Many of you have had sons. How many of you have had sons? Anybody have sons? All right. How many are proud they had sons? Only half hands go up there, right? Okay. All right. So we had a son, and just like most boys, you know, when they're little babies, before they go to the hospital, they get circumcised. They don't know it. Praise God. They don't know what they went through, right? But think of all the men. Now listen to this. Think of all the men who had to be circumcised because nobody was circumcised in the wilderness wanderings. And it's kind of funny because the Bible says they took a few days to heal up before they went into Jericho. I imagine they did. Now, why weren't they circumcised back in the wilderness wanderings? Because they'd been disobedient to God. You see, outward things we do have no effect unless there's been a change on the inside. Ever thought about that? And so God did away with circumcision. And see, in the New Testament, circumcision refers not to a physical circumcision, but circumcision of the heart, where our sin has been cut and divided away by Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Something else that they reinstituted on the other side of the Jordan, not only circumcision, that identified them once again with God, but also the Passover. The Passover also was not celebrated during the wilderness wanderings. In fact, if you do some history, you'll find out that it was exactly 40 years from the time they had the Passover from the previous time. 40 years. Remember Exodus chapter 12, for those of you that might remember, where the Passover were instituted right before the nation of Israel left Egypt? And on that night where the death angel came, remember the instruction, kill the lamb, have dinner, put the blood over the door, and the angel will pass over you. And remember, they were ready to go. They left their clothes on. They ate standing up. They were packed. They were ready to go. And boom, they left. Now, 40 years later, it's reinstituted because God wanted once again to show them of His power and His greatness. And if I can rescue you from Egypt, I can rescue you from the enemies in the Promised Land. I'll tell you, the Old Testament's a fascinating book. It really is. And you learn so much from it. They reinstituted after the Passover the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which really coincided with the Passover. The Passover was basically on a Friday, and the next week was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where they would go into their homes and they would make sure that they cleaned out all of the cabinets and all of the floor of bread that had yeast in it. And all that week, they would do that. Now, as we think about these things, we didn't talk about Joshua from the standpoint of him going into Jericho, but he was the one that God used to reinstitute some of these things that gave people the understanding that they were men and women of God. I want to share just a couple of quick things in closing this morning. Here's some lessons that I think we can glean from this short story today. First of all, aren't you glad God never gives up on us? Aren't you glad when we're offline, we can get online? You know the great thing about God? He never buffers. I hate buffering. You know, you try to get something and it buffers and buffers and buffers, and I'm impatient and I can't wait, so I try it again, and people will say, Jerry, give it time to buffer. I don't want to wait for it to quit buffering. I want it right now. But then I'm patient and I wait, and sure enough, a minute later or 2 minutes later, whatever comes on I want to see comes on. I'm glad God's not a bufferer. I'm glad he didn't give up on the nation of Israel. He gave them a second chance. I'm glad God gives us a second chance. Something else, when we get offline, I think it's important that we realize when we're offline that it really has an impact on those around us. It really does. Sometimes, sadly, not only we get hurt, but innocent people around us get hurt. We don't plan on that, but it happens. Now, I want you to stop and think about it. Those 10 spies who lacked faith, over 1 million people did not get to enter the promised land because of their lack of faith. Now, you can't get around that argument. That's a fact. Everybody over the age of 20 had to die because 10 men did not have faith in God. Only Caleb and who? Joshua. They were allowed to go into the promised land. They were the only two guys over 20 that got to go in. Everybody else died. Whether you like it or not, we're not an island unto ourselves. We impact others. Here's the next point. Let's look at it. They'll put it up there for you. We need God's presence to stay online. The Ark of the Covenant was God's presence. They carried it with them. Everywhere they went, that Ark of the Covenant, God's presence. Later on, God's presence would be in the temple, wouldn't it? You know, in the Old Testament, people went to the temple. Now, in the New Testament, we are the temple. We don't go. You know, years ago, and I can mention this now, it's been a lot of years. Years ago, we took pews out and put chairs in. I mean, we had some people, I mean, they just about had a bird. I mean, they just, Jerry, this is where God dwells. I'm sorry, God dwells in you. This building is only a building. Now, with that being said, we need to respect the building, take care of the building. But the church is in us. This is a meeting place. And whether we have a dinner here or a concert here or a hoedown here or whatever we do, it's just a building. And sadly, we had people leave our church. Been here for years that somehow we were desecrating the house of God. I did all I could, just like I'm teaching you now. And you know what? Sadly, they were so brainwashed by bad teaching that they could not grasp that the church is now in us. In the Old Testament, that wasn't the case. The Holy Spirit did not reside in them. It came upon individuals on occasion, but it did not reside in them. Much different than today. Much different than today. And so we need to understand these principles. We need God's presence. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us, to give us strength. And we do that by staying online. Let's look at the next point I want to share with you quickly. One of the ways that we stay empowered by God is to build memorials in our lives. I love John because he's always talking about disciplines and spiritual disciplines we need to build into our life. You know, we say this a lot because It's our mission. We want to bring people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, part of that is having memorials in our lives, building in disciplines that draw us closer to God, that make us stronger in the context and the world in which we live, where we can withstand temptation, where we have the courage to witness to people in the marketplace, where we don't crack when pressure comes from the world and from others and our families and our jobs and health issues, but we're able to stand strong in our faith. You see, that's why God reinstituted the Passover. That's why God reinstituted circumcision. That's why God reinstituted these things. That's why God had them put memorials in Gilgal and a memorial in the Jordan River, because they were building, in a sense, discipline to anchor them. So when challenges came, they could look and say, I'm ready for the fight. Ready for the fight. Which I've already said is so very, very important. I want to share with you in closing a prayer. If you guys could put the prayer up on the screen for us. I would say to you this morning that the most important decision that you'll ever make in your life is not what job you have. It's not who you're going to marry, and those are very important things. But the most important decision that you'll ever make is, are you willing and ready to repent of your sin, to cry out to Jesus Christ for forgiveness and invite Him into your life as your personal Savior? That's the most important decision you'll ever make. You see, you can't do those other things that we've talked about this morning unless you start here. This is entering into, in some ways spiritually, the promised land. Because I'll tell you what, when we receive Jesus Christ, the Bible talks about, almost like it's the present tense, we are already citizens of heaven. We're already there. And I would encourage you today as we look at this together, Jesus, I know that you are the Savior of the world who died on the cross to forgive me of my sins. And right now, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and come into my life and save my soul. We can learn a lot from Joshua and him leading the nation of Israel into the promised land. But we can learn all of that. But if we miss this, we've missed it all. And I would encourage you today, if you've not prayed and received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to do that today. That is, by far, the most important decision that you'll ever, ever make. I want to tell you how naive I am. I believe that God still changes lives today. That's how old-fashioned I am. And I believe that this book, the Bible, is true from the first verse to the last. I believe every single story. Jerry, come on. I believe every single story. You want to know why? Because if I can't believe every story, how do I know the story about the resurrection is true? If they didn't walk through the Red Sea, how do I know Jesus was raised from the dead? I mean, it's easier for me to believe the Red Sea being part of than somebody coming back from the dead for 40 days. You see, you can't pick parts of the Bible. That makes it difficult. You can, but it makes it difficult. This Bible was given by God, I believe, supernaturally to mankind to be a light and a guide for our lives. And I encourage you to build this into your life as a memorial, and it will help you when the storms of this life come. Our Father, we ask your blessings now as we receive our offering. We would ask that our guests not give, but simply place that card in the plate. And other folks who filled out prayer cards, we ask that they would do the same also. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jess, and thanks for joining us today at Crosspoint, where our mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to take a moment and let you know some of the things coming up around Crosspoint, so check this out. On Saturday, October 21st at 7 p.m., join the Cross Point worship team and friends for an incredible evening of worship featuring many of your favorite songs along with some of the brand new music from Cross Point Worship. The evening will also include a recording of a live worship album to be released later in the year. The event is free and open to the public. However, we ask that you'd bring a non-perishable item or donation that will be collected to help serve the needy in Greater Bangor. Don't miss this night of incredible worship, life-changing testimony, and praise as we lift the name of Jesus in Greater Bangor. Ladies, you will not want to miss this year's Refocus Conference hosted right here at Cross Point on Saturday, September 23rd from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. All ladies are invited to attend this wonderful day of worship, teaching, and fellowship. The cost is $15 and covers the cost of the conference, morning refreshments, and lunch. The theme this year is treasure, storing up the good things of God in our lives. We hope you can join us. We are so excited about the restart of our Cross Point Sunday nights beginning next week. On Sunday night, there are opportunities for prayer and reflection at our prayer and praise service, incredible children's scouting programs, and the biggest service of the week for our students at Refuel, along with adult Bible study opportunities. You can get more detailed information and start times on our website at crosspointbangor.com or on your mobile app. We hope to see you there. Thank you again for spending part of your weekend with us. We want you to know that no matter where you're from or where you may be on your spiritual journey, you're welcome here. If you're new to Cross Point or haven't been here in a while, or have any questions about anything you saw or heard today, we would love to connect with you at our welcome area in the rear left of the auditorium as you exit. There you'll have an opportunity to speak with one of our pastors and ask any questions you may have about our ministry, and let us know how we can serve you and your family better. Thanks for being here with us today, and have a great weekend.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Cross Point Church today. It's such a blessing to have people like you tuning in on a regular basis. And by the way, if this is your first time joining us, thank you. Would you let us know by way of email or a phone call or drop us a letter or maybe drop by the church, any way that you seem appropriate, would you let us know today if you've made a personal decision either to draw closer to God or even more importantly, if you made a decision today to receive Jesus Christ as your very own personal Savior, I would love to know that. I'd love to send you materials or put materials in your hand so you can grow closer to God. Email us, let us know. We would love to have that information. And by the way, join us again on another broadcast right here. God bless and have a wonderful day.